Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, Sister Michelle X. Blog Talk Radio's finest. Not so bad scientists on Black Hole Radio.
Oh, dude, do me a favor. Can you give me a phone, please? Thank you. Go ahead, Brother Harold, you're on.
Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Sorry for the delay. This is Not So Mad Science on Black Hole Radio with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, and my co-host, Sister Michelle Forex from the City of Brotherly Love at the Top of the Clock, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Once again, welcome. We apologize to our listening audience, our friends and family, for the delay in getting things rolling. Seems God has a plan, and we have a plan, and God is always the best of planners. This storm rolling through here in the east, we got a lot of lightning heading in our area here in the city of Detroit. And I see down on the further down on the east coast in the New York City area, the storms are not treating you too well either down that way. So we got a lot of things going on. We have a nice high-powered show for you tonight. And we pray a lot that our show is able to get through with some clarity, that we all learn something, and we know to get involved. Tonight's show is Black Politics in a Dying Society. We chose that show because we're living in a time and in a world and in an environment now where the social means of this world are coming to an end. We can see with things going on around the globe that this time that we're living in now is different. It's not the status quo. It's not the same. We can see that there's a world society of consciousness going out and a new spiritually driven society of the world coming in. That change in reality is tumultuous. By the tone, I can tell we have a caller on the line. And caller, just give me, identify yourself, and welcome to Not So Mad Science on Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, this is Sister Michelle. How are you, Brother Harold?
I'm fine, Sister Michelle, and welcome to your house. I was just sharing with our listening audience the theme of tonight's program, Black Politics in a Dying Society. And why it is so important for a program of this nature right now, because we're living in a changeover of mindsets. We're living in a changeover of world powers. We're living in a changeover as to how people see themselves and they see the world. And in that changeover, there is pain. In that changeover, there is discomfort. In that changeover, there is suffering for some, but everybody's going to suffer a little bit until joy comes through when God's world is in place. So we're talking about black politics in a dying society. What society is dying? And how does a black politician in this particular day and age, we see that we have a black president in the White House. We have Brother Barack Obama, President of the United States.
him the first time. It was a wonder in heaven to see him come through a second time. But God is the practice. I'm saying he's the gatekeeper for white folks' problems, because he has not addressed the black folks' problems while they're in the White House. There are some who say we have Brother Joseph on the line. I heard someone in the background. Who we got? Well, I'll continue. And we have those who say that he is the second coming of Jesus because it shows the progressiveness of American culture that you can have a black man sitting in the White House over a country that has enslaved another people, and that 400 years up from that time of slavery, a black man to sit in the White House. So you have some opposing views there. And we have some facts that we can put forward that support both positions. But one is only the true position, and truth will always win out. And then we have black politicians in the various highways and byways around the country who are successful in what they do, and some who have not been successful. My personal favorite growing up was Adam Clayton Powell Jr., the presiding pastor of Abyssinian Baptist Church in New York City in his time. And quite frankly, he is the benchmark, in my estimation, of what a black politician is and what a black politician should be. But could he be successful in the environment that exists today, a society going out and a new society coming in? So let's get right to it. We have two guests who will be joining us by God's permission today. We have the mayor of South Toms River, New Jersey, His Honor Joseph M. Champagne from Toms River, New Jersey, South Toms River, New Jersey, and we have Derek Muhammad. And by the tone, we have a new caller on the line. Caller, please identify yourself and welcome to Black Hole Radio, Not So Mad Science.
Oh, if that's me, brother, this is Derek Muhammad calling from Detroit, Michigan.
Welcome, 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 Brother Derek. This is Brother Harold Muhammad and my co-host, Sister Michelle Forex from the city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, on the line with you right now. And we're just giving a quick overview of... And we're getting a quick overview of tonight's program. Tonight's, again, program is Black Politics in a Dying Society. Brother Derek, if you can give us a quick, let me give rundown a quick bio of who you are and why I believe it was a good choice to have you on the line with us. Brother Derek, as a citizen of the city, the great city of Detroit, Motown, he co-sponsored the Homeowners Emergency Generator Project for the people of Detroit, and he provided the bridge necessary to couple the installation process with contractors and each recipient that received the generator. Also, he led the successful effort to coordinate investors and volunteers to assist with the relocation, tower upgrades, and the remodeling of the community television station TV33 WHPR here in the city of Detroit and Highland Park as well. In conjunction with the mayor of Highland Park, he led a team of Angel Night Patrol volunteers to a successful first-ever campaign of no fires. And he looks to bring the same here in the city of Detroit in District 2, the district I live in, by the way. And as a member of the city council, he's looking to implement technology and hold regular town hall meetings, keeping us informed of pressing issues that affect the citizens of District 2 and the Detroit community at large. So that's Brother Derek Muhammad. Brother Derek, welcome to the program.
And thank you, brother. Thank you for having me.
And we do a quick introduction of yourself. If I have misstated anything, please correct it. But introduce yourself to the not-so-mad science community.
Okay. Well, you did a fine job. I am Derek Muhammad, a resident of Detroit, Michigan.
born and raised in the state of Michigan, originally from Flint, Michigan, just an hour away, and grew up there, born and raised there, went to high school there, went to college and school down in Indiana, then moved to Detroit, worked at Ford Motor Company, continued going to school here. So a degree is in electronics engineering and business management. Been working in Detroit, worked about 10 years in corporate America, and then the last 12 years running my own information technology and graphics design company. And met a lot of wonderful people in Detroit. A lot of the things you named were through the connections that we've made since we've been here, and things in the IT field as well as just in the area of just the social work that needs to be done in the community has come through the connections and the people that I've met here in Detroit who are progressive. And most certainly working both coasts, you can take credit. I have a brother in the New Nation of there, but I'm not engineer down and moved to Mississippi. And he was very, very instrumental in the work that we did setting up the both the generator project and the tower there at T33 in Highland Park in Detroit, Michigan. And that just proves how we can all join together as brethren and work from coast to coast to help make things in the community better. And that's what I'm geared toward, and that's what I'd like to bring into politics so that it doesn't change me. If anything, I can take the truth and righteousness that we've learned and help change the scope of politics for doing good and right. And I know a lot of people walk in with that idea and it changes, but I'm understanding that if you will always be yourself, you won't get caught up in it changing you. So the things that you read in the introduction were right on point. I saw you didn't leave anything out, and we just hope to bring that to the citizens. So.
All right, all right. Well, Brother Derek, tell me this. You know, our subject tonight is black politics in a dying society. How does that strike you? Would you consider that to be an accurate assessment of what we're looking at these days?
Well, I don't consider it to be inaccurate, accurate or inaccurate. I just I look at it, you know, when I really think about when you say black politics, it reminds me of basically the statement that I just made. I won't say it reminds me of any particular things, but I'll say this: if you're gonna get involved, you know, you want to get involved and not let it turn you into what we've seen in politics, all of the corruption, all of the you're going in with bright eyes and, as they say, bushy tails and all the good intentions, but the corruption in it turns you into something else where you don't represent the people who actually voted you in. And that's the thing that I think we all have to be mindful of when we're entering into any field, especially politics. And that's the thing that I constantly keep up prayer and just stay true, strive to stay true to who I am so that I won't get caught up into that. If I'm going in to represent the people, that's what I'm asking them to elect me to do, represent them. So that's what I think about when you say that. It puts those thoughts in mind that, yes, it is a failing society, but, you know, in some of the worst situations, some of the best outcomes and results come from some of the worst situations. So those are some of the thoughts that come to my mind when you mention that, brother.
Yes, sir. Now, Sister Michelle, I know in Philadelphia we don't have a Philadelphia representative, you know, in front of the political environment on the line right now. But I do know that there's some special unique things in the political environment there in Philadelphia that are extreme and to the abnormal, considering the social environment that we live in. I know here in the city of Detroit, where Brother Derek and I are both at, you know, the city of Detroit is going through receivership. They have a financial manager. They can't make their own decisions. You know, what's going on there in Philadelphia?
Well, Brother, what's going on in Philadelphia is what's going on all across the country. And typically, many things have been cut from the people, a lot of funding that benefit children, that benefit families, and particularly single families, have been taken away to put funds, as they say, towards things that the people need more, such as like Social Security and such things. Now, mind you, they're cutting everything. Unemployment has been cut. Social Security, it's going to be cut. EBT, the people with the food stamps, I've heard that their food stamps have been cut. Meanwhile, they're going up. They've went up on property taxes. Now, this is the crazy thing also. Philadelphia real estate has value has come down greatly, I mean greatly, over 30% in value. Nevertheless, the property taxes have gone up. And really, that's just insane. It's just what's going on is that the politicians are just men in positions. They were hired to do a job and they can pay for it, but they're not doing their job really because there's only so much they can do. I see politicians as, I don't want to say puppets per se, but they really have no power. They're just front men. They're there to implement. They're there to ease the minds of the people. And do you know, in Philadelphia, we're actually considered number one among all the major cities, first among the people in deep poverty. And that ratio is at 12.9%, which is roughly 200,000 people. And that is coming out from the Census American Community Service. While they're saying that single people are getting $5,700 a year, and single families are $7,700 a year. Now, of course, that's poverty. That's extreme poverty. And so when you ask me what the political state here, the political state here is greed. The political state here is a lack of compassion. And truthfully, I just don't really see it changing until the politicians become poor themselves. Then they will suffer from the changes and the taking away the services. They closed most of the libraries. They, as you know, they closed thousands of schools across the country. And here in Philadelphia alone, they plan on closing so many schools at the end of this summer that by September, there'll be less schools. And they're actually planning on combining schools where they were adverse to each other, where they're like enemies. And so this is going to create a lot of violence. The city knows this, for education knows this, they know what they're doing. This is no accident. This really isn't any accident what's going down in the Philippines, in Detroit, across the board. Let's talk about that. And also, regarding our violence statistics, I just go back to 2007 real quick. In 2007,
and excuse me, Brother Harold and Sister Michelle, if you were trying to reach me, so still Brother Derek Muhammad, I was unable to, I'm unable to hear you. I've been unable to hear you for some time. So just in case, if we need to reconnect, yeah, someone may want to reconnect me.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Derek, are you there? Brother Harold, are you there? All right, brothers and sisters, listeners. We are experiencing what is said to be some major outage problems, which is very much affecting the smooth running of the program this evening. So as we try to get our guests, our host, Brother Harold, our guest, Brother Derek, and hopefully the brother who's the mayor over in South Toms River, Jersey, maybe we can get them all back on here, get them all on here, inshallah, broaden this dialogue. But until then, I shall continue. Now, if you hear me. Now, you know, that space of time when I had a moment to take, sometimes I can get very emotional when I start talking about politics, which I usually don't even want to talk about. I don't really talk about anything that gets me really tight, angry. But politicians, you know, it's not like all of them there are bad. is able to come. Mr. Joseph McCandle, Champagne Jr., is able to come, and I hope that my words do not offend him or any other position, unless they apply to you, if they apply to you, and I can't help if they offend you, but I would hope that I can explain this without being harsh. But I see politicians really as being no use unless they're doing God. That's how I feel. I mean, the reality of things is everything is vain. Everything is vain unless it's done for the building and the building of the kingdom of God, the increasing of righteousness and good in the earth. If what you're doing is bringing good, then it's not in vain. But if what you're doing is no good, it is in vain. It really is. It's like a waste of time. So politicians have their responsibilities and experience. And I would hope that everyone who does serve a politician or wants to be a politician would always be mindful to do what God wants you to do. Therefore, you won't go wrong. And yes, people will oppose you when you want to do what God has ordered you to do. That is therefore, there's no compassion, no righteous intent, no good intent in their actions nor their duty. So that has, you know, really made the position tainted, foul. So that's what I'm saying about don't choose a position that's meant to help people and you have no intention of helping people. I really, you know, I kind of despise that. You know, I'm a nurse technician. I do the work of RNs, LPNs, CNAs, EMTs, psychological technician. You know, I've experienced it at many levels with working with people. And I tell you, I've come across many people who really just don't like people, have no love or compassion for people in the healthcare field. And my thought was, why are you in a position to help people if you don't want to help people? And that's what I'm saying about politicians and the way politics are done in this world today. And that's why it's more often today called dirty politics, because there's nothing clean about taking a position for the benefit of a monetary gain, but you're not helping anyone that you were hired to help. There you go. See, now I finally got that out without having to keep talking and talking on that subject while feeling I needed to make myself real clear on that. Now, if you'd like to call in, which, mind you, I know we're having technical difficulties. I mean, even our brothers haven't made it back on the line. So, yes, we're experiencing technical difficulties. But perhaps your call will get through. And if you'd like to come in and talk with your sister and share your thoughts on politics, and how you feel the government is using or misusing the money of the people through taxes, misappropriating funds, destroying the economy while becoming richer, the rich is becoming richer and the poor is becoming poorer. Would you like to talk about that with me? Because I'd like to talk about it with you. And you can call 323-927-2913. Again, that number is 323-927-2933. You know, I'm speaking of it from memory. I should have it really down packed, but my mind is kind of darting everywhere because that's what it does. I'm always thinking from one thing to the next. There's so much going on. What about this Boston bombing? The Boston Marathon. Wow. Right? I myself had just got to work, and about 10 minutes after 3, I walked past one of my patients' TV, and, you know, it stopped me dead in my tracks. And I'm like, whoa, really? And, you know, to think that, you know, really, I knew something was coming, because usually when it gets quiet, like, you know, you haven't heard of any school shootings and no employees losing your mind and shooting up the boss and the people on the job. You haven't, you know, you just haven't heard of anything for a minute since the last, you know, shooting with the over there at the elementary school. And so, I guess in my mind, I was like, I guess it would do, huh? Because there's always somebody who wants to hurt somebody, and regardless of who's responsible, it was the evil act, you know. And those of you who are in the Nation of Islam, and maybe some of you who aren't, know that Mr. Farrakhan grew up in Boston, and I'm pretty sure, yeah, it was Boston. So, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing his message on the time of what must be done this coming Saturday, because I'm sure he's going to make reference to this some way or the other, if not directly. But if you'd like to talk about that, again, you can call us at 323-927-2913. Again, that number is 323-927-2913. You can push the number one button if the automated system reminds you to let us know you want to make a comment. So it goes like that. So again, about these bombings, you know, some people are very suspicious. Could this have anything to do with another shut-up? Are they setting it up for to falsely accuse someone? Is this an internal terrorist? Because we have plenty of those who just hate America and want to cause destruction because they're just such miserable people. You know, I mean, really, Allah did not ordain suicide, let alone killing innocent people. We are taught to defend ourselves. We fight those who fight against us. But we are not taught to strap bombs on ourselves and go kill people or just go set bombs somewhere to kill people who haven't even attacked us. No. Please, those of you who do not know anything about Islam, let me help you be undeceived by that lie. That is not the way of a Muslim. That is the way of somebody who is desperate, who has grown weary, lost their faith, and just want to hurt people because they feel they have been done unjust. And in their twisted minds, they decided the only way that they will get justice is to hurt somebody. But that is not the way of Islam. That is not the way of Allah. No, Allah is most merciful. He is the God that is showing mercy not only to the Muslim, but to those of you who say you are not Muslim. For Allah is the one true God who we are taught who created all things, and he created the air that we breathe. And so that air is equally absorbed by us all. That is mercy upon us all. The sun shines on us all equally. That is the mercy and of God's, the equality of his mercy upon his creatures. All right, so we talked a little bit about the bombing, and I don't want to elaborate on it too much. There's still much more to be revealed about that subject, so I'm going to stop there on that, if you understand what I mean. Now, do you ever feel like you have to compromise your own agenda because of political, well, I don't want to say political brick walls, but because do you ever, I'm asking you people who are listening, and if you won't call in, to ask yourself, do you ever feel as though you have to compromise your own agenda because of the political laws that's set around us? And if I can explain what I mean, you may say, well, okay, this is something that's going on with farmers and even people with small residents. There are laws that are put up saying that people can't grow vegetables in their own backyards. I don't know why there would be such a horrible law, but this is happening, particularly over in the northwestern states. Now, if a law is put into place that goes against things that you feel are good for you or for your family or for your people, would you oppose it? Or would you stick by it just because, well, the government said, I can't do it, it's the law? I mean, there's a time when you must stand up for your rights. You can't just lay down and let bullies run you. If you do, they'll just crush you to death. And even if that bully is the government, and our government, I have to tell you, is one of the biggest bullies on the planet Earth. My God, I don't know really any bigger of a bully than our government. And some of us brag about it. They're like, oh, yeah, our country, we'll kick your ass. We'll go over to your country and burn your houses down and drop missiles on you. Don't F with us. What? Why? Don't brag on that. No, don't brag on that. Because those same bullies who are doing it to other people will do it right here to us. And they are plotting that as we speak. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. There's no conspiracy theory. And you will see in a little while that these words are true. They've already called military people home, not just to get them from out the other countries for any reason other than they realize they have to have some military here in the homeland for their next move against us. Because that's one of the reasons why they're making these strict gun laws, because they want to get the guns out of the American people's hands before they do the attack. But you know what? The government still got more guns and more ammunition than the American people. For all the hundreds and some million guns that they say are on these streets, America got over a billion today. And over to above the billion of their ammunition, they got over the trillions in ammunition. Yes. Did I say that right? And they got over billions of weapons. And they have over trillions of ammunition for the weapons, is what I am tending to express. And so if we think that we can just go shoot it out with them and suddenly become victorious when the revolution rises against the government, which will rise. And it may rise from the white people first, because they're planning, literally planning, they have segments and groups from among the white people in America. Militia groups, that's the word, militia groups, and there's a lot in Pennsylvania, by the way. In fact, I don't know, I haven't looked it up recently, but I know at least 10 years ago, Pennsylvania was deemed number one for the most race hate groups in America. There was well over 1,000. And, Philadelphia is predominantly black, but we're surrounded by Caucasians. So we figured, okay, we're going to take our guns and we're going to take over Philly. Yeah, that could happen. But you got to remember, look, all the people still around you with weapons. You got to know, if you know like I know, and I'm not talking again, not no spirit thing, I'm talking, we have a power greater than us, greater than all things on our side, whose weapons will shut down everything. His weapons, first of all, Allah knows what's in our minds. He knows what we're going to do before we do it. So that itself is a military tactic that is most advantage. Well, you know what your enemy going to do before they even act on it? You going to shut it down like that? I'm talking about that's the kind of God I serve. A lot like that. All right, I'm going to read some from... The Fall of America, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. Well, he said, all around the southern border of America, storms are raging. There are tornadoes and heavy rains and more storms on the way, one right after another. And in the north and far west and in the east, America is surrounded with the judgments of Allah God. There are earthquakes and the sea is raging. The Pacific Ocean is now angry and raging and tossing up great waves as never before. Why should these things hit America? The revelations teach you why. It is because America is filled with devils and has such unclean persons living in America. That is true under the symbolism of a hateful bird. Every filthy, slimy, wicked person comes here for a haven where he can do any wickedness he wants to do. The country is open and welcomes that type of person. As we see, the few little Muslims whose name, Muslim, means those who have submitted to the will of Allah God,
how the enemy hates us and seeks to do all the evil he possibly can against us by falsehood. These are not the days of Noah, Lot, and Abraham, nor are these the days of Moses. These are new times. The enemy does not get away in punishing the righteous just because he hates them. Allah, the God of righteousness, is with us, and he just laughs at those who try to fight against us. And try to fight against him. He has destroyed whole nations with less than the power of rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes. The Holy Quran has the record of people even being destroyed by the gnats. Now, Allah, God, does not have to have something great. He does not have to go to work and get a block of iron or a mountain and throw it on them. He uses that which is with you against you. Hi, sister, why are you reading that? And it's supposed to be about politics in America. Well, politics in America will crumble. America way of life, or where America's system, all is crumbling. It's crumbling right before your eyes. Maybe you just don't see the physical. And yes, you can. You can see the physical. America, you can see the physical. You can see the external and internal crumbling of America. So I chose this part where the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was reading about the destruction of America and how Allah will use his wrath to bring her down, because her politics is one of the reasons that her fall is taking place. Her politics is dirty. It's rotten. The politics of America cause poverty. The politics of America cause sickness. The politics of America cause racial inequality. The politics of America cause suffering on many levels, not only to this North American continent, but to the continents across the world. And that's why, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, that Allah was saving America for himself. The Bible, the book of Revelation, said that God was saving this beast for himself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's read something else from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he's so wise. Most wise was he among men in our age that Allah sent to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. Raised up this man with this great wisdom, and he was rejected like most of the prophets and messengers. See, when you come with truth, you're rejected more than received. And although it may look like a lot of people love you, if you look at 100,000 people gathered around a righteous man, you know, the Satan becomes afraid. He said, whoa, the people love him, that's a lot of people. And it could be a million. He said, oh, that's a lot of people. But in America, it's both. I'm going to finish the statement. But in America, there's well over 300 and some million people. And so, you know, when the people see a million people gather around the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, they become afraid and they say, oh, the people following after him. But that's a small amount. That's not even 10% of the population of America. The 10% of 300 million would be 30 million. So we're talking about 1 million, and that's a minuscule when I say that most, like all the prophets and messengers throughout the ages were rejected. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Jesus himself, who the Christians, as I myself love and strive to follow, rejected. But, you know, if
Sister
you
Michelle?
Hear something, yes, sir, this is, I've got to finish this last statement. If you hear something indifferent than what you've been taught, I just say open your mind, open your heart. Yes, brother.
Okay, we have a guest on the line. Caller, please announce yourself. I guess we lost our caller. But we're experiencing some severe technical difficulties. My call dropped. Our guest call dropped. So we apologize to our listening audience for the lapse in the air, but certainly Sister Michelle brought the thunder. I couldn't hear what she was talking about, but based on the little bit that I have heard, you know, the righteous always seems to come through, even when things seem the worst.
Yes, sir. I love life.
We have a caller on the line.
Okay, I will reconnect us for the Derek Muhammad.
Okay, Brother
yes,
Derek. Praise be to us. Brother Hal, I was reconnected as well.
Yes, sir.
Sister Michelle, since you were carrying today, I don't know where you dropped off at specifically, but we do have our guest back on the line, and we are talking about black politics in a failing society. Brother Derek early on gave us his curriculum vitae in terms of his position on politics. Sister Michelle was giving us the rundown when we all dropped off on the struggles for the black politicians and the struggles for black people there in the city of Philadelphia, and right there in the city of New York, black politicians are struggling. You know, we have Congressman Charles Rangel, who went through a period of censorship and review by the House, and he was investigated. You know, everybody's going through these things. Here in Detroit, former Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick investigated. Things picked at and looked into. Around the country, we got in California, one of the best black politicians there could be in terms of the black woman as a representative in the House. She was investigated. I apologize. I'm having brain fog at the moment. I can't remember her name. But we all know who we're talking about.
Maxine Waters?
Yeah, Maxine Waters. Thank you, brother. Maxine Waters investigated. Black politicians are in a fight for their lives and their credibility. But in this society that we live in, a failing society by my regard, because the society has not lived up to the promo that was given. The promo is the American dream. The promo is the 40 acres and a mule after the period of Reconstruction. None of these things happened. Black politicians for a period of time appeared to be thriving in federal and civil government here in this country. But over the last two decades, from the 90s up into the current millennium of the 2000s, black politicians have struggled and suffered. Former comptroller of the city of New York, by right, should be mayor of the city of New York right now, but they changed the rules to keep him out. So black politicians have a weighty responsibility as well as a changeover in policies and rules that mitigate and in a lot of cases eliminate the ability to govern well. We can look at the city of Washington, D.C. The rules were changed. How does a mayor end up being caught in a sting for crack cocaine? Something was wrong there. Something not quite right. So black politicians, in my estimation, in this particular society that is on its way down in a new world order, is on its way up, and I'm quite sure Sister Michelle referred to it. This new world order requires a higher level of accountability, a higher level of transparency, a higher level of commitment. And if I can refer to quickly, and then I'm going to give the floor over to Brother Derek, the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his book, Message to the Black Man, because a lot of people seem to think Muslims aren't involved in politics. Well, that's not true. His concern and his requirement is you have to be true to yourself. And as long as you're not stepping back from what you say you believe and you can still stand your ground and be the man that you're supposed to be, then we can support you because you're supporting our interests. But if you can't do that, can you quite say that you're there to serve the interests of the constituencies that put you in office? And this is the quandary that our brother President Obama finds himself in. Has he served the interests of the constituency that rallied to support him and made sure with their life's blood, their reputations, their monies, to ensure that he got back into office as he represented that interest. As a politician or someone who's looking to engage in politics in this present society, Brother Derek, can we say categorically across the board that the black politician has done that or is doing that?
Well, I can't. I definitely, we have some evidence of what we see and hear and read that we can't say that across the board. But, you know, it's interesting, brother. I was just listening to what you said specifically about Mrs. Maxine Waters and how, you know, at the end of the day, the House Ethics Committee, you know, they had to end this investigation. And they dropped the case because, you know, they came to the conclusion that she did not break any rules. And it reminded me of an interview that I heard with Dr. Bill Cosby, and he was saying that the mother of his childhood friend, his best friend as a child, his mother, said to him that if you're not in the picture, you can't get framed. And I thought that that was so key. I was going to say profound, but you know, just one. It definitely stood out to me, that statement, because it made me think of you know, number of things growing up in my childhood, but even now as an adult, and even now entering into politics, which I prior to had no inclination of doing, because of the all the negative things I was involved in it primarily. But you know, if you get in and, like you said, you know, you stay true. If you are about truth and righteousness and standing for what's right, and you stay true to yourself, then no, I couldn't speak for everyone else who's in politics and happen to be black or black politics, but I just do believe in that. You know, word of Allah is so strong that if you can be in the worst of situations, and if you stay true to who you are and stay true to serving Allah, you know, you don't have to get poured into that. And if the good that you're trying to do is not accepted, then that is what would be manifest, is that those who are before you, they don't want good. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't stand for what's right and offer it. And that's just what I intend to do. And even in our sister Maxine Waters, it proved that, you know, if she was guilty of anything, you know, they would have dragged her name all throughout the mud. And the fact that she wasn't, hey, she couldn't get framed. She wasn't in the picture. She hadn't done anything wrong. And at the end of the day, you know, if you stay true to right, it doesn't matter. Like you said before, we sent each other a message. We just reminded one another that Allah is the best of planners. So regardless of what, if you stand true to the word of God in everything you do, no one will be able to smear you or pull you into negativity. So I just think that this is the day and time when you mention the end of one world and the coming of a new one, where you really hit on it when you said that it seemed as though politicians, specifically black politicians, were flourishing in a world that's on its way out. Well, that's fine when it was on its way out and you were doing wrong. It's fine that you were doing wrong in a world that was full of wrong. I mean, you were a rabbit in a briar patch. You didn't stand out. But now that world is on its way out and a new world is on its way in, and the tenets of that world would be, you know, truth and righteousness. Well, if you're going to have to do good in order to benefit in that world. And if you do wrong or do evil, then that's what's going to stand out. And it's just the change in the world. And so now is not the time to do wrong and benefit from it. It's just that it's not that time
anymore.
Right. Let me shoot you a quick question. And Sister Michelle, you can take a crack at this one as well, I believe. Because you can't say you're not politically active if you're keeping track of world events. That makes you politically active, simply by virtue that you're following what's going on. So the question is this: should black politicians be held to a higher standard than their white counterparts?
Of course. That's what I was speaking about when you and Brother Derek were disconnected, that I don't believe anybody should be in any position that's designed or the definition of that position entails helping people. If you don't want to help people, please
Don't take that job. And that's the thing about politicians. I believe some really had good intentions going, you know, out to be a politician, wanting to help people, but really lost that. Because I believe the main reason that people lose that once they get into politics is because they see how powerless they are. And if we can look at our president, President Obama, and see his areas where he himself is powerless, how much more powerless is our congressmen, our senators, our mayors? I mean, you know, really, I really just feel like there's just some, you know, positions that they're getting paid to, you know, make us feel at ease, to make us feel like somebody's fighting for us. But if they were really fighting for us, we wouldn't be getting poorer. Our people wouldn't become, they wouldn't be becoming poorer. Not just our people, but people in general.
Are they able to actually fight? Because really, you know,
that's the point I'm making, that they can't. That's what I'm saying, that they are, these positions are powerless positions. That is my observation of politics overall. That why should I get emotionally involved in what these people tell me they're going to try to do when they go into the House of Senate? We're going to deal with these people to get them to agree that we should give you all money, that we should give you all some benefits to help with this.
www.finalcall.com.
promised the kingdom of heaven, as it is called, after the destruction of this world. People of this world will stop at nothing and try to seduce you. Follow them and remain with them so that you too will share their doom. They ask you to take part in their doom and you accept. When accepting the call to their false friendship, you are accepting death. I hope you remember what I said to you concerning the prepared destruction by Allah for his people and you who take part with them. Since they already have a head start, they believe they will deceive you in going along with them, ignoring the call of Allah and your own salvation and heaven at once while you live. The consequence of this rejection of his call will get you a disgraceful year's punishment of chastisement night and day. You will wish that you were dead. When night comes, you will wish you were day, and when day comes, you will wish you were night. You can find this chastisement mentioned in Revelations 9, 6, 19 to 20, 20 and 10, 14, 20 chapter 10, 14 and 15, and 21 chapter 8. Now, America can't save you. America can't save you. And one of the reasons America can't save you is because she's one of the ones trying to destroy you. Seek refuge in Allah. Politics has no place in the new kingdom of Allah. But if you want to try to figure out what's going on, then study the way of Satan and you'll understand what's going on in your government, because they are truly the reflection of it. So, we're running out of time. I see that we have roughly 10 minutes left. So what else can we talk about, brothers and sisters, before we get off the air? Let's talk some more about the time and what's at hand. Well, we are living in the year 2013, and there are many signs.
This is Michelle with Derek. Thank you.